I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, it's Chris Harrington on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show. Presented by Church Health, caring for people all around us. Give today at churchhealth.org.
Chris joins us in studio. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's Elvis's version of Long Black Limousine. Kind of an obscure soul song, I think originally done by a guy named O.C. Smith. He recorded it when in his Memphis comeback sessions in the late 60s with Chips Moman, American Studios. A song about a funeral, I think appropriate for Elvis' death day.
Weirdly, when I was pulling out of my neighborhood today, I saw like a black limousine in the wild. Not like a procession, just someone and driving like his own black limousine, and I was like, I did not expect to see that.
Someone driving it himself?
Yes, like just by himself. Like
I don't know you could do that with like, limousines.
Like you know, it was like
just tooling around.
It was clearly like an older one, so it wasn't like it was like someone just decided I want to own a limousine, and by all means,
that's a decision.
Do whatever you do to make yourself happy. Oh, we got a couple more scheduling notes. Last night, I believe the Athletic reported that the Grizzlies will open October the 19th at home against the Knicks. Shams also reported that the Grizzlies will yet again take on the Phoenix Suns on MLK Day. Was that last year's MLK Day game, or am I mixing up? I know they played the Suns.
It was either last year or the year before.
Yeah, I can't remember.
But there was a Suns MLK Day game, and it was either last year or the year before. I can't remember which, because it was COVID-related. So it may have been the year before.
I think it was the year before. I think you're right.
Because it was like either like the first game with some fans back. Or there was something memorable about it beyond the game related to the attendance or lack thereof.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because if I recall,
it may have been the Bulls last year.
The Grizzlies.
It was the Bulls.
Because it was the pickup. The Stephen Adams pickup.
So it was the Bulls last year. It was the Suns year before.
Yeah, and I think the attendance deal was the Grizzlies were opening up with like 2,500 fans. And then there was another COVID outbreak. And like they just put fans down. But I wanted to go back to something that you had mentioned yesterday when we were talking about the Christmas Day game, and that the Christmas Day game perhaps could be foretelling of the Grizzlies in the pecking order, if you will, of the NBA, the teams that they're going to promote and push.
Right.
But you were more interested in what the rest of the schedule would suggest.
Well, I think this is another sort of indicator here in the MLK thing, because remember a couple years ago, people got mad because they weren't doing it on MLK Day. They were doing it the night before on Sunday, and it wasn't, or they would do it and it would be like, you know, in the noon game, and there'd be three others. If the reporting is correct, they're doing two games, two national TV feature games on MLK Day, and the early one is at Atlanta, and then the later one, which will be the featured game, if this reporting is correct. NBA will officially release the schedule tomorrow, but if this is correct, the featured game on MLK Day will be out of Memphis.
Well, I think the other thing,
which I think, again, if they're elevating them to Christmas Day, which they've never done before, if they're elevating them to the featured game on MLK, which has not been the norm, that's not going to be all. Like, there's more coming.
Well, I think it's entirely possible, since the Grizzlies are starting on October 19th, the fact that they're hosting the Knicks, like, I think it's possible they could be one of the ESPN games on October the 19th.
Oh, that's interesting. I had not thought about that. I like that Knicks. So that is October 19th.
I think it's a Wednesday
night.
And Tuesday night, I think, it's the Turner opening, TNT opening night.
Right. No, so that could very well. We'll find out. It's not been reported as a national TV game.
Correct. Maybe it will not be. Yes.
You know, one of the more memorable home openers we've ever had was against the Knicks. I don't know if you remember this, whether you were around. Maybe you were in college at the time. I don't know how old you are.
34.
But I can't do the
going
math.
Going on 13.
I can't do the math. But the Rudy Gay, Kyle Lowry rookie season.
Yes.
triple overtime.
Yes.
Home against the Knicks. It's a loss. It's a triple overtime home loss against the Knicks.
I was in college in that one, yeah.
Home opener. That's like the most memorable. That's one of the more memorable regular season losses in Grizzlies history. That was a pretty good opener, even though they didn't take the win. So I like the Knicks as a home opener opponent.
Well, I think it's also interesting that the Grizzlies are starting out at home against a premier franchise. You know, right. You can talk about, you know, the Knicks standing in the league, but they are still one of the premier franchises in the sport. And the fact that they're going on the road and you're hosting them, like, I think that's significant.
I think it's just good enough of an opponent to add some extra juice to an opener, but not waste what is all, because the opener is already a big deal. So you don't want to waste, like, you know, the Warriors on opening night. You want to, you know, you can triple, sprinkle that out throughout the season or whatever. But the Knicks, you know, and it's not, you know, it's not, we don't think it's going to be Kevin Durant coming in. It's not, you know, it's not one of these high profile, like, mega games, but it's not like the Hornets either. It's, you know, it's a high profile franchise. It has some juice to it. So I think it adds just enough extra to an opener.
That is a good question. Like, what is the sweet spot for home opener? Because last year, weirdly, I thought the Cavs ended
That was pretty good.
Because it was a good game, and you had some ties with J.B. Bickerstaff. And
the Cavs were kind of an interesting team with Evan Mobley and the young players, and you got a good game out of that. Yeah, and so, you know, I think, you know, if it's a team that has nothing to offer, like Orlando, I mean, everyone has something to offer. They have Paolo Banchero or whatever, but it's one of, like, the really least interesting teams in the league. You know, you're asking just the fact that it's the opener to carry all the juice. And I think a team like the Knicks adds a little bit extra juice to it.
One thing that I've been pondering, as a city, I would say we are elite at keeping a chip on our shoulder.
100%.
I would say we're the best of the best. I'd put us up against anyone. In fact, God bless my wife. Last week we were watching Hard Knocks, and someone had the Detroit versus everybody. And she immediately just goes, "That's us! Like, you can't do that."
I think Detroit did that first.
I think a lot of people did. It's someone versus everybody. Like, it's not a unique concept. But then I started pointing out, I go, "Honey, wait till you see. They love their area code too.
Right.
313. I was like, "Nah, you're gonna notice a lot of similarities."
I thought about this the other day because I was coming out of Target. And I saw some guy wearing a t-shirt or a hat that just said 901 and nothing else on it. I started to think to myself, because the only other city that I'm in a lot regularly is like the Twin Cities. And I don't think anyone walks around with a 515 like cap on like in Minneapolis or whatever.
Do Minneapolis and St. Paul have the same area code?
Because that was the other thing I was thinking. No, there's more than one. There's not like one area code for the core metro.
Because that's kind of the sweet spot. You have to be a big enough city to where the area code is specific to that city. But like to your point, does Nashville? I've never seen 615 stuff. Right? Did I get Nashville's
area code? I think that is accurate. Yeah.
Like, I don't ever see that, but I was thinking
whatever, like, the rankings are for cities that care most about their area code, Memphis has got to be near the top of the list on that.
Well, I mean, like, that was the other thing, because when I went to college in L.A., you know, I'm having to do, like, the math of, okay, well, this person's from L.A., but they were from the west side. This person was more from the north. Like,
we have a team in our town with the number in there, in 901 FC.
That's right. Good point.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yeah. St. Louis, I don't see a ton of area code stuff.
No.
But, I mean, I know they have Belleville.
Nobody cares.
Thing.
No,
well,
they're not
in some place like New York with multiple, it's like a status thing. You have the good one.
To your point. The people in L.A. that have the 313 area code, a little bit more snobbery. You got the 919. That's too bad. But 313, they are big on that. But I'm a little worried about us. I believe in our ability to always find a slight. That's one thing
I can
say.
Think about with like 15 national TV games and Christmas Day and the MLK, right?
Well,
it's
going
to be hard to say we get no respect at that point. That'll be a lot of respect.
Well, it started for me when ESPN came out with the projections, and I see that they're fourth, and I'm like,
I was expecting maybe like some more pessimism.
I was like six, seven, and if that would have been six or seven, I would have been like, okay, I can understand that.
Right.
But you're seeing there at, you know, 51-plus wins, and projections usually are on the conservative side. And then they're fourth. Like, I'm a little worried. Like, we haven't been here before.
The Grizzlies do not have a history. I mean, you can find individual examples, but by and large, they have tended to overperform expectations more than underperform expectations. This is obviously true the last 2 years. It was true the grit and grind era. If you went back through those years and looked at preseason over-unders, the Grizzlies hit the over much more often than they hit the under.
Believe me, I know.
Yeah, so we're not used to, like, falling short of expectations, and let's hope that's not the case this season, but like one of these years it's gonna happen.
Yeah, that was always in college when guys were starting to get into gambling, like, what's your NBA play? I go, I don't know what the Grizzlies over under is, take the over. Like, I go, trust me. And like, they'd usually hit with weeks to go. And
my thing historically is under on the Knicks.
Under on the Lakers has usually not been a bad one. Like, it's just go for the glamour franchises, right? And take the under. That's kind of where we are. But it is kind of this fascinating year in the sense that the Grizzlies could be, you know, one of the featured teams. Yet, I feel like part of the strength, and maybe it's job related, maybe it's, you know, what we're talking about, kind of the you know, overlooked team. Are they coming in with an actual target on their back? Because I think towards the end of the year they started to get that target, but a lot of their success early was teams thinking whatever. It's
Memphis. I think the interesting thing with Morant and so much of the discussion of the Grizzlies as a public entity is really a Morant discussion at this point.
No question.
Morant has become one of the true stars in the league that has general interest beyond his market. Right, very popular. There's measurements for this. You know, the social media stuff or the jersey sales. Whatever. There are measurements. The league knows this. That's why the Grizzlies are popping up on these games. Morant is becoming a true star that people care about even when they don't care about the Memphis Grizzlies.
Correct.
At the same time, he's becoming a figure of some resentment by a lot of people who are fans of more specific other teams. I think there's a lot of, like, Ja talks too much. Ja, you know, I think alongside his popularity, there's been a rising wave of sort of pushback against that. And I think he's someone who could easily become a villain for other franchises.
But isn't that kind of the nature of the NBA? Because the way that I view the NBA kind of a lot like wrestling, in particular, you know, with WWE and Vince McMahon. Oftentimes, Vince McMahon has all this data, and that's how he picks his guy. Like, you can disagree, you know, with how he would, you know, who he would pick, but, you know, it was always merch sales, eyeballs, you know, pay-per-views. He would have reasons for doing it. And oftentimes there's
biceps.
This, yeah, exactly. Well, damn, pal, he's only 6'1". How's he gonna? Yeah, he's got to be 6'6". You know, but inevitably there's always a pushback against what's being promoted,
right?
And what's being pushed back. And I just kind of think
I think there's a little bit of that with Ja.
Yeah.
Among, you know, if you spend enough time on like NBA social media and you see sort of fan chatter. And this is like hardcore people, like if you're a hardcore fan of the Atlanta Hawks and think you have some resentment about Ja Morant because you think Trae Young's better, and why is Ja getting all this shine?
Well, and like think about it in the flip. When Trae Young had his run to the Eastern Conference Finals, everyone here is like...
Right. No, same thing.
Can't play D.
Yeah.
I do wonder, inevitably, like the Grizzlies are going to be one of the hunted. And have we really ever seen that?
We've never seen, you know, if you look at like national media kind of stuff, especially the more hardcore NBA kind of media, the Grizzlies have always been a popular franchise to get behind. That was true during the grit and grind era. That's
we were
been
hipster,
true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been true the last couple of years because of the small market, because of the personality of the teams, of the players. There's never been the team you get sick of, the team you sort of root to get its comeuppance, the team it wouldn't surprise me if if along with more success, the Grizzlies sort of started to get some of that from some corners of the NBA media. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Is there inherently in that question, though? I guess that that's kind of what I've always wondered about. Does that really matter in terms of a team? Like, I do think it where it could matter the psychological element of it's a lot easier to exceed expectations when teams come in like whatever, it's Memphis tonight, you know, but when you have the target on your back, you know, you're starting to get everyone's best shot. But in the end, this doesn't really strike, like, the Warriors have gone from being darling to hated to kind of
darling again.
Yeah,
people were really at least NBA media types were really rooting for the Warriors last season.
Yeah, and yeah. I think it's because they root for narrative, and it's like an easier narrative. But
right.
We've seen them in every iteration have success. Like, even in the Spurs, like, when they were the, you know, underdog, small market franchise, and then they kind of get into being, you know, one of the formidable, you know, villains, if you will, even though they weren't really, it was just like people got tired of them. And then kind of knocking off LeBron. Like, there was that element. Like, LeBron has gone from, you know, underdog with Cleveland, Miami kind of hated because of what he did, and then goes back to Cleveland, kind of becomes the underdog again. Like, I do wonder, like, does it actually matter in terms of a team's success or lack thereof?
I think most of the time that stuff follows success or lack thereof. It doesn't drive success or lack thereof,
yeah.
Right? It's a reaction to these ups and downs are a reaction to the arc of things on the court. They don't drive the arc of things on the court. And, you know, I think maybe you can find exceptions to that. But I think the Grizzlies have guys. We'll see if Dylan Brooks is a long-term part of this team or not. But obviously Dylan Brooks is someone who sort of relishes that role, although I think he got shook a little bit by it.
I think he relished it until the Peyton play.
Yeah, because I think he had personal regrets about that play, and I think that got to him. It wasn't just that he was getting booed. It was that he wasn't getting booed about things that he was, like, righteous about. He was getting booed by something that, I think, in his heart of hearts, he sort of knew he deserved to get booed about. I think that got to him a little bit in San Francisco. That was my sense. I was there, and that was my sense of him that night. But by and large, he's a guy who relishes that role. I think John Morant is like the classic chip on the shoulder. I relish, you know, he relishes all the attention, and positive and negative, and either fuels him in different ways. I think this team is sort of, I think Desmond Bane has shown a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think this team is going to be there for it, whichever direction the it takes them in terms of their role in the sort of the public drama of the NBA.
I'm just very excited to see how we're going to spin zone it, because inevitably, I think Ja Morant, even when he's getting praised and whatnot, he will figure out a way to take a slight.
Yeah.
I do feel like we're elite at that, too. Like, we can figure out a way to, you know what I mean?
The market and star are well matched in this regard.
I think we very much can do that. Chris, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.